1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, you have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now notice what he says in the middle of verse 20. He said, turn not aside from following the Lord. Turn not aside from following the Lord. And then he says in verse 20, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Last week when we looked at this passage, we said there are three things that are essential for you and me to not turn aside from following the Lord. And the first one was to fear Him, which He deals with in this chapter. He also says in verse 20, fear not. We distinguish the difference between being afraid of God and fearing God. And those are two different things. When you fear the Lord, then the wisdom and knowledge that comes from fearing God comes your way, and you're able then to follow Him without turning aside. Second thing, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the need to serve the Lord with all your heart to keep from turning aside from following the Lord. But before we go any further, let's pray, and then we will study this out tonight. Father, we're thankful to look around and see the folks that are here on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. We've had the opportunity to praise You, some to even enjoy some fellowship, to hear these praises of folks truly, Father, that are thanking You for being involved even in the smallest portions of our lives. And we're very thankful for that, and in some great things as well. Now, Father, tonight we pray that You will help us. We pray for the children that are in the nursery and the workers there taking care of them, the children that are in the Bible club and all those workers that are involved in that ministry, and Tony and the teens that are with him tonight, and all of us that are in here. Father, we do pray You'll fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Help us in each of these areas to learn Bible, learn things, Father, by which we can live that will help us, that become, you know, nuggets in our life, guiding passages of Scripture, things by which we can live, grow, and change. In process of doing this, Father, we pray that You are honored and glorified in it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, then when you read the whole chapter, what's happened is God set a king over Israel. They had forsaken Samuel, they had forsaken God, and they said, we want a king to rule over us. And what had happened is that the Ammonites, under their king Nahash, had put themselves in array for war, and Israel was afraid to fight them without having a king like the other nations. And so God granted their request and gave them King Saul. And Saul won the victory over Nahash and the Ammonites. And it was a great victory. Following that victory, Samuel said, let's get together and we'll renew the kingdom. And when he got them together, he said, I'm going to tell you something. First of all, he said, I want to ask you, what have I done wrong? Did I take anything from any of you? Lead you in a wrong direction? That's the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 12. And they said, no, nothing. He said, well, I'm going to tell you, you turned your back on God and forsook Him when you got that king. But, look in verse 14. But he said, if you will fear the Lord, serve Him, and obey His voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. And then he said, if you won't, then something else. The Lord's going to be against you. But he said, if you want to keep following the Lord your God, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to fear Him. And we talked about that last week. And you're going to have to serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against Him. And if you do that, you'll continue following the Lord. So that's what's leading up to what you read in the text today. When he said, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, The second thing then that's a principle to keep you from turning aside is to do just what he said, to serve the Lord with all your heart. Now think about what he said. Serve. Just look at, we're going to look at three aspects of that, and then we're going to look at some cross references. Serve. Serve. Unless you're talking about tennis, what does that sound like? Well, it sounds like work. What does it sound like? That sounds like you got a boss. You got a boss. It's very common for people who are Christians to think of God as our servant, because we pray to Him and say, give me this job, protect me when I'm driving, heal that child, give me comfort, make provision for me, give me wisdom. We're constantly coming to God and praying as if we are making demands of a genie in a bottle, or as making demands of somebody who is supposed to make provision for us. God is very faithful to take care of us. And looking around at this crowd tonight, many of us have had really good times with the Lord, and many of us have been through some pretty tough stuff while we've been saved. Very tough stuff. But I believe all of us could safely say God is good. And God is good all the time. And he really is. He really is. But we look to Him sometimes as if He is supposed to be taking care of us. And so what happens if something goes wrong, we fuss with God. How come you let that happen? Why didn't you intervene here? Why am I having to go through this? And the truth of the matter is, we have to remember, God is not our servant. We are His servants. And when you read through the Bible, servants are very careful in the presence of their master to do exactly what their master tells them to do. And if you look at the kings and the relationships that servants had with them, I'm reminded of Pharaoh. He obviously had a couple of guys, a butler and a baker, that he got upset with one day, whether it was legitimate or not. And he put them both in ward, put them in the prison for a few days where they met Joseph. 3 days later, he let the butler go back into his butlership. But what did he do to the baker? He killed him. And Nehemiah, when he had the opportunity to stand before the king, was so concerned about the fact that he was depressed over the condition of Jerusalem. Once he got the news that Jerusalem was in bad shape, he was scared whenever the king asked him, why are you sad? Because the last thing in the world that a servant wanted to do was put himself in the presence of a king where his sadness would affect the king emotionally and throw him off. He's supposed to be there to uplift the man. These folks, I tell you what, when you look at the way they dealt with their earthly royalty, it is amazing sometimes the attitude we have when we're in the presence of the Lord God. And we just have to remember, we are His servants. And then he says, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Well, you know, one of the things about, we obviously know who He is. Everybody in this room knows who He is. We're well acquainted with our God. We're well acquainted with our Lord through Jesus Christ, our Savior. But the thing about it is, it's common. We heard it tonight in the missionary letter. It is very common for people, in the name of serving the Lord, to be in conflict with other people who are serving the Lord in the same church. And you say, how in the world could something like that happen? Well, one guy gets the idea that God is telling him to do something that is contrary to what God is telling, in this case, the pastor or the missionary to do. And so they're in conflict, and this other guy thinks he's right. So it's important for us to remember we indeed are His servants, and we are to honor Him as a servant does a king. But then when we serve the Lord, we are serving Him and those who are under Him who are over us. We'll see that when we look at a cross reference here in just a minute. When we serve the Lord and we are under those who are under him, when we are under those who are over us who are under him, there's continuity. There's accord. There's peace and harmony. Obviously, they're not all following the same people. Now, I was talking to a pastor one time. He was an associate for like 30 years before he became the pastor of the church after his pastor resigned. And somebody asked him one time, well, were you ever in a situation when you were his associate where you weren't in agreement with him? And he said, there were a number of times that he was doing things that I didn't like, but he was the pastor. That was really good. That was really good. So serving the Lord also includes serving those who are under him, who are over us. And then serve the Lord, he said, with all your heart. With all your heart. So that's not just a part of your heart or just on the days of the week when you are where he is. For instance, here we are tonight on Wednesday night. And man, I'm so glad to see all of you. I'm thinking of the prayers that will be prayed here in just a little while and the opportunity to preach, to give you something. Your heart is here now. And when you're here on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, your heart is here now. But what about that time when you get in your car and drive away and you're not here? You serve him with all your heart when you're not here as well. In other words, serving the Lord with all your heart affects all aspects of your life. It affects your marriage, it affects your child rearing, it affects your labor, it affects your recreation, it affects your nutrition. It affects everything. If you're serving the Lord, you are going to do what God wants you to do in each area of your life where a decision has to be made about your life. All your heart. God, what do you want me to do about school? What do you want me to do about occupation? What do you want me to do about marriage? What do you want me to do about budget? Blah, blah, blah. What do you want me to do? And if God has a command, he'll show you, and when he shows you, you do what he said. But do you know that if you think about it, it really makes life pretty easy. I was talking to somebody, and this person was concerned about being able to answer as the oracles of God. And so in conversations, this person was hesitating in making replies in certain situations because this person was waiting for a verse. And I said, you have the mind of Christ. If you read the Bible, you know, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You can oftentimes serve him till you start thinking like him. How many times have you seen a situation where an employee is working for a boss in a company and he's worked there so long? Remember MASH radar? He already knows how the boss would handle that situation. He doesn't even have to ask anymore because he knows this is how he handles it. And that's how you get to serving the Lord. You say, I know how the Lord handles this situation. This is what the Lord thinks about those things. I have the mind of Christ. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, let's look at some cross references. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Notice that what Samuel is telling Israel in our text, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, is nothing new to Israel. This is how it all started with Israel. When Moses got Israel out into the wilderness, he said to them in Exodus chapter 20, here's the law, and now in Deuteronomy chapter 10, he is nailing it down, and look what he says in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord, what's the next word? Require of thee. That's what masters do. They require things of their servants. What doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord? That's what we looked at last week. To walk in all his ways, and to love him, watch it, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. It is an amazing thing how peaceful your relationship is with other Christians when you in your life are doing everything God told you to do in every aspect of your life. When I find children are having difficulty with their parents over something that the parents commanded them to do and the children are not serving the Lord in that area of conflict. The problem is with their service to the Lord, not with their parents. It's because they chose not to serve the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul in that area of their life. That's where conflict comes from. Same way in a husband and wife. Something starts going wrong in the marriage. Oftentimes, one of them is not serving the Lord with all of his heart, all of his soul, or her soul and her heart. And so now the family is being pressed into having to accommodate this disobedience when would be all be settled if everybody would just serve the Lord. See? So this is what he told Israel. This is how we're going to conduct business with the Lord. We are going to serve him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. They didn't treat the Lord that way when they were in the wilderness. They treated God as their go-to man. We need food. Take us back to Egypt. How come we don't have any water? Why'd you put this man Moses over us? We want another ruler. We want a God to take us back to Egypt. See where the problem was? Joshua and Caleb were not like that. What do you want us to do? Go in there and conquer that land. They come out and say, man, we can take it. Yeah, we look like grasshoppers to them. Doesn't make a difference. If God wants to use grasshoppers to kill them, he'll use us. Both those guys went all the way through the wilderness. Both of them were now 45 years older when they had to go conquer their own land. Caleb went in and took that mountain where those three sons of Anak were, those giants, and killed them just like he would have 45 years before that. Why? Serving God. Look in Joshua chapter 22. We are now looking at the end of conquering the land. Joshua has been over Israel. He's getting ready to die. Joshua chapter 22. Look at verse 5 and 6. His parting words to Israel. Verse 5. Joshua 22, 5. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord. I love that. Moses was as strong a leader as he was because he served the Lord. Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Consistent. Moses brought it to them. Joshua gave it to them. Samuel says, folks, this is the way to keep from turning aside from following the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart. It's a personal decision. When we apply these things in our lives, this is a personal decision that you need to make every single day. You get up and you put your clothes on. You say, today, Lord, I am here to serve you. What do you want me to do? Notice, turn all the way to Colossians chapter 3, and I'll show you. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, we're in verse 22, we're looking at servants. We're looking at people who are under people who are over them, who are under the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 22. Servants, obey. What are the next three words? In all things, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Remember that fear of God that we talked about last week. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, watch it, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I was advising a guy several months ago who's in a bad employment situation, and I said, just remember this, you serve the Lord. Until God changes that situation, you serve that. Yeah, but you don't understand my employer. I said, I know, but I know your God. You serve him as unto the Lord. And at least then, if certain things are happening, it won't be on you for doing something bad or doing something wrong because you're giving the best service. Yeah, but he doesn't deserve the best service. Yes, but Jesus does. See how that affects all areas of your life. So you that's us. Ye serve the Lord Christ. So God shows you here, You don't even have to ask him, what do you want me to do today? If you're serving in a situation of employment, you give it to them the very best as if Jesus Christ was your immediate supervisor, because he is. Now, there are some things that can throw you off. This whole command that we've been reading about here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20 to 22 was, turn not aside from following the Lord. How? By serving the Lord with all your heart. All right, but there are some things that are going to pull on you to pull you out of that service. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and notice what they are. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Christians, listen, ought to be the very best employees on the payroll, bar none. There should be nobody, unless they just happen to know more than you, they shouldn't be serving better than you. As it comes to loyalty, faithfulness, timeliness, dependability, cooperation, obedience, all that, all those things on an evaluation, you ought to get 5 stars. As unto the Lord. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods, watch it, of the people which are round about you. All right, now when Jesus was tempted by the devil said, if you'll serve me, bow down and worship me, I'll let you have all these kingdoms and the glory of them. He said, thou shalt, what's that? Serve the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He's quoting this from Deuteronomy 6 and also another place in Deuteronomy chapter 10. He's quoting this. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But what can pull you out? Ye shall not go after after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. All right, the first thing that can pull you out and cause you to turn aside from serving the Lord when you have been, or from following the Lord when you have been serving him, is what people around you get to do that you don't get to do. That can pull you out. I don't know what my life would have been like had I grown up in a church like this. I know what it was when I didn't grow up in a church like this. And I'm seeing some heads nod around here, but what happened is we saw the gods of the people that were round about us and we followed those. And man, we look back with regret. So I know, and you know, some of you firsthand, the pull of what they get to do and what they idolize. Don't let those pull you aside. Now, they pull on you hard. They call that peer pressure in school. They pull on you hard. All right, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, there's another one. Verse 3 and 4, the Lord says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, talking about from the nations. If you look there in verse 1, the Girgashites, Amorites, Hittites, Canaanites, all those nations that were there in the land of Canaan. He said, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Can you think of a king in Israel that happened to? Solomon. Now Solomon, we know from what the Bible tells us, was wiser than any other man alive in his generation. And if you read his Proverbs and you read Ecclesiastes and you read Song of Solomon, that dude had some kind of wisdom. And later in his life, after making marriages with people that God told him not to marry, they wanted high places built to their gods, and he accommodated them, and the Lord said, you really messed up here, boy. Your son will not get to rule over Israel like you did. He's only going to get to rule over 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The other 10 are going to go under another king. That was a tremendous blow. So you got to be careful who you marry. Now, for some of you, it's too late. You're already in. But for those of you who aren't married, you just got to know this. People say, well, he's saved, or well, she's saved. Yeah, but I'm, you know what? There are a lot of people who are saved that have all kind of views about God. Have you noticed that? And if the person that you're thinking about, that you will be thinking about marrying at some point, doesn't have your view of God and doctrine like the Bible is, that you know and have taught and have learned to love and have grown up with, that's going to pull on you. How many times have I visited with people? Well, she grew up this religion, I grew up this religion, and we decided we were going to, you know, let our children decide. We went to two different churches, or we decided we're going to be in the same church, and it just gets to be confusing. Why don't you just figure that out and realize if you marry somebody that's not like you, one of you is going to end up pulling the other one in a direction that, and if it's in a direction that God doesn't want you to go, that's going to be a bad thing. So you got to be careful about that. Then Romans chapter 16, verse 18. Just this verse and one more and we'll wrap it up. But look at this in Romans 16, 18. If you're going to serve the Lord with all your heart, then you can't let your friends be the ones dictating to you some of the things that they want you to serve. And you can't let the person that you might want to marry be pulling you out. And then you've got to be careful with your own self. Romans 16, 18. Verse 17 for the context. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. We just heard about that in the missionary letter tonight. For they that are such, oh, look at that, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they said they were. You know there are a lot of people who say they're doing things that they aren't doing. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So listen, the people you hang out with can pull you in the wrong direction, turn you aside from following the Lord. The person you may be contemplating marrying can pull you aside from following the Lord. It may very well be that even tonight in a family here, that there's somebody who really wants to serve the Lord, and there's a spouse, be it a husband or a wife, who doesn't want to go in that direction. You know what? The person who knows what God wants you to do needs to be firm now and say, look, I know that this isn't going to make you happy, but God is leading us in this direction, and I am not going to follow you and turn aside from the Lord. That's a knockdown drag out when you have to do that, but somebody's got to stand for God. And then you, your own belly, your own desires, your own ambitions, your own expectations, your own, put in any other word you want there, goals, aspirations could cause you to come out from following the Lord. God says to you, I want you to do this, and you say, well, I want to do that, I want to do this. You're in trouble. You're not serving Him with all your heart. You're trying to get Him to come around your way. No, you got to watch your own self. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. You got to watch your own self, your own heart, your own ambitions may pull you right out from the Lord. We'll conclude with this. If you want to make up your mind tonight that you are not going to turn aside from following the Lord, you start by fearing Him, and then you continue by serving Him with all of your heart. All of your heart. And listen, you settle it by making a choice. You settle it by making a choice. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will... Listen, see that? Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house... See, Joshua already made the choice. We will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I made a choice, and this is who we're going to serve. But he says, if you haven't made up your mind which way you're going to go, you need to choose. And he said, I want you to choose today. If you want to turn not aside from following the Lord, then you're going to have to serve Him with all your heart. and you'll end up right where you need to be. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to study your words. See very clearly from the Word of God how this goes. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We always reserve invitations for Sunday, but not today. If you're not serving the Lord today, then you need to, tonight, after hearing this, you need to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? What you want, what your friends want, what your spouse wants, or what God wants. And if you choose to serve the Lord, then to keep from turning aside, walk in His fear, and be conscious that you are now His servant, and you will do what He tells you to do, that He's written in His Word, and you will serve those that you serve as unto the Lord. Let Him call the shots. And you will be amazed how well your life works when God is completely in charge and you are glad to serve Him.